as we are nearing down to the last part of this preaching series, we continue in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22, and in verse 17, it says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." Amen. Stepping into a new reality, The Real World, Part 15, on this first Sunday in August. A church who tries to make its journey without full commitment to prayer and full dedication to the Word of God will find that true spirituality will not be present because they are traits of being lukewarm. Lukewarm folk can get excited, enthused, inspired, and motivated about anything and everything except for God and His work. Years ago, I had to correct some folk who always say, "When all else fails, pray." That's wrong. Jesus said we ought to pray always. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. We ought to always pray first. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." The Laodicean church was stuck, trapped in the middle. Better to be cold than lukewarm. They were halfway in and halfway out. They were trapped. They had not made a commitment. They were looking backwards, but trying to move forward. They could not follow the Lord that way. Lukewarm people seek the kingdom of God not in spirit, only in flesh. And they seek God's kingdom only when all else fails. Jesus never told his followers to seek God's kingdom last or even second, but second to none. However, those who are satisfied being lukewarm are not seeking God's kingdom for God's glory, but for self-glory. Some people believe we are to give unto Caesar first and then give to God. But Jesus never said, "Give to Caesar, then give to God." All Jesus was saying for the people to do was to give what is due to whomever it is due. Jesus never said to put God's work and His kingdom or the work of His kingdom behind anything. The sad part about it is many of our churches are full of lukewarm folk. Let me say that again. The sad part about it is that many of our churches are full with lukewarm folk. Not on fire for Jesus, but lukewarm, calling on Jesus only when all else fails. Our churches should be full when it comes to prayer, service, and Bible study. if it was, we would see better results on Sundays. Once again, but that church must stay humble, because if it is not, then that church will fall to Satan's prey. This is exactly what happened to the Laodicean church. They became a worldly church, a church bragging on self, a church without teamwork for the Lord, a church in personal competition with one another, a church striving for personal credit, just to say, I did it. Just to say, if it wasn't for me, it would not have been done. Watch it. A church that puts its financial business before God's spiritual mission will be, as what Worsby said, Laodicea lost their vigor, their values, their vision, and vesture. Oh, a church that loses out on what God intended for that church to be is a church that has to face the consequences, a church that has to face something that they didn't intend to face. And so here, a church that puts its financial business before God's spiritual mission. I have told others, I have shared with others, I have shared with myself, that prayer and Bible study is the way. And some people will say, prayer, 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 we need action. Where are you going without the guidance of the Lord? Where are you going without God guiding you? You talk about discernment. You talk about this and that. Where are you going? Because there are some people that all act, that's all action and no reflection. We got to reflect on God if we are going to follow God. People say, prayer, prayer, prayer. Yes, pray. And when the Lord leads, we know where we're going. We know how we're going to get there. In other words, the cross and the works of Jesus had very little or no value at all to them. They chose not to be aware of it because they were living a lie. God was counted out. Yet even though they counted God out, God did not count them out, because out of his mercy, Jesus said, I counsel you. How many times have you and I done wrong and God came to our aid and counseled us to say, you are not out of this race. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get you back on track. I'm going to do whatever it takes to make you strong in me. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And sometimes God will have to beat us and whip us and talk to us, whatever it is. He chastises those whom he loves. And so therefore, here it is, because God does not spare the rod, and nobody ain't going to call 911 on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's going to do what he's going to do. 911, 119, I don't care what it is. You cannot handcuff Jesus. When he gets ready to strike, he will, but he does it out of love. Somebody is going to be strong enough or smart enough or even dumb enough to call 911 on Jesus. Spare the rod and spoil the child. I'm so glad that God didn't spare the rod on me, because I wouldn't be here today. If God is not convicting us of our sins, then we're in trouble. But if God comes knocking on your door at 11 o'clock at night and reminds you of what happened, that means that God still has a connection with you, and you still have a connection with God. It is when God says nothing that we have to worry about where God is. He said, I counseled you. I'm so glad that he didn't give up on his church. He said, I counsel you. They counted God out, but God didn't count them out. I counsel.
pursue you. He did not cancel them out. He counseled them. Oh, never get to a point where God feels like he needs to cancel us out. Because if God cancels us out, we are in trouble. But one could even be on their dying bed and God says, I counsel you and I'll counsel you again. Everything would be all right. Just hold on. Help is on the way. And if you don't live on this side of glory, you will make it on the other side of glory. It is not what the body and the soul is prospering on this side of glory. It's when we get to the other side. Even when you don't even want to praise him. Oh, God says, but now. I'm so glad for a but now testimony. God don't rejoice any dead hand clap, any dead praise, any dead thank you, any dead this, any dead that. If you clap enthusiastically for the world, you want to make God jealous. I don't want to make my God jealous. The reason why, God has been too good to me. Do I have a witness? Do I have a witness? The church of Laodicea, they were left out because they left themselves out. They were stuck, lukewarm, and all of that. But God always has a ram in a bush. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Some of you have been in things that you didn't think that you would ever get out. But God counseled you. God walked with you. God talked with you. God counseled you. God gave you everything you needed. Children in trouble. But God still gave you a peace of mind. He still kept your mind on him. Aren't you glad?